Our readings for today seem unrelated to each other, and yet when we look at them, asking the question of what would God have us do, we might see a number of connections appearing. These scriptures are many generations apart, and yet in each one, the listener is asked to live with God's plan, to be open to God's way. Isaac and Rebekah had created a home together, but they yearned for more. They wanted children. Have you ever heard, "Be careful what you wish for"? God provided them the children they asked for, but not meek and mild children. Children who would challenge their parents. Children who would be so different from each other that it would seem impossible to reconcile those differences. Children who would be self-centered and greedy, and whom God would identify as the leaders of different nations, foreshadowing the creation of the nations of Israel and Edom. The passing of the birthright to the oldest son was meant to ensure the continuing health and welfare of families and communities. Along with the receipt of the wealth came responsibility for all of the family members, staff, animals, etc. Farms or holdings wouldn't be split into unsustainable smaller pieces. It was about much more than the money. But it seems as though Esau did not value that responsibility, and Jacob was jealous of the power. If we were to read more about these characters, we would learn that, instead of treating the twins equitably, Isaac and Rebekah took sides. Each parent had a favourite, and that favouritism probably enhanced the competition between the two boys. Instead of introducing the ideas of cooperation, of joining their skills and gifts together, their rivalry was magnified to the point of no return. I wonder if this was really what God was hoping for. I wonder if God was hoping that Isaac and Rebekah could teach trusting in God to do the best. That they would teach their children ways of listening and learning together, of being honest with each other. Our world is filled with people as different as Esau and Jacob. We have hunters and gatherers, construction workers, builders, providers, rough and tumble people who are needed in our world. We have dreamers and homemakers, engineers, creators, quiet people who hold us together and transform the basics of life into more. Yet we often get caught, as Esau and Jacob did, in greed and wanting more for ourselves. We withhold the care of someone else's needs until we get what we want. We strain against the restrictions that are meant to ensure healthy communities. We don't look at the big picture of working together. I wonder if this was really what God was hoping for. In the parable that we hear Jesus tell today, I think that we hear God hoping for more willingness to accept God's direction. I think that we hear God hoping that we will trust in God's timeline and listen to God's dream that will make us stronger and better together. In this parable, we also see God's persistence. Generations after Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob show us the destructive power of jealousy, favoritism, and self-centeredness. God is still sowing words of love. Jesus tells us that God is aware that sometimes the words fall on deaf ears, that sometimes people just don't want to accept what is offered, that sometimes their attention span is short and unsustainable, that sometimes they are easily distracted and taken away. But God continues to offer the seeds of hope and faith and justice and care and love. Because God knows that there are people who are willing to be the ground for those seeds to grow. Like a farmer who goes back into the fields each year and puts in new crop, even after years of drought or weeds that didn't yield much, God comes around again and again, offering teachings of friendship, of acceptance, of loving, until we are ready to accept them. These readings show us ways in which God enters the world and disrupts it by challenging us to love in ways that we didn't expect, or by naming for us that we are not living faithfully and asking us what we will do about it. I wonder what God is hoping for. Is God hoping that we will become aware of when we are acting like weeds, choking out the goodness of life by focusing on the power and the money dangling around us? Is God hoping that we will stop being distracted by people appealing to us to think about ourselves and taking us away from loving each other? Is God asking us to take care to nurture the roots of caring and justice so that we don't lose that important focus? Is God asking us to be that place that accepts the teachings of looking after others, the teachings of ensuring others have what they need, the teachings of making space so that others can feel respected and cared for? In our world that offers us so many opportunities to think of ourselves, we are beginning to notice that making decisions for everyone will benefit all of us. When we find ourselves in the position to teach compromise and cooperation, will we accept God's challenge to do that, or step back and watch anger grow instead? The seeds of love are being tossed in our direction again, and we have a choice to make. Will we accept them, not knowing how they will grow, but accepting what God offers us? God disrupts us often by asking us to love fiercely, to love strangers, to love each other. I wonder what God is hoping for.